More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So Biden's first year in office as president has officially come to fruition. It has happened. He's been there an entire year. Part of me actually thinks I should probably say congratulations to Joe Biden for even making it a year. What does the first year look like? A border crisis, which is out of control. I was just at the border over the last several days, and there are now locals who are refusing to call Border Patrol because they are being attacked after they call Border Patrol. That's right. They're being attacked. There are people that are saying, don't call Border Patrol now because the cartel members, the coyotes, are watching. And if they see you, spot them and then call in, they will actually come after you. And they will shoot at you. It is actually happening at the border. We were even told stories about game wardens who have been calling in illegal immigrant crossings, and they have been targeted by those in Mexico. Why? Because they can get away with it. So why not? That's one of the biggest issues that we now have at the border. We now have 50, 60, 70 people coming across a time. And when they get to America, they ask for you to call the Border Patrol agents because they know they're probably not going to be sent back home. They just want to make it to America. This is Biden's America year one. Now, a year ago, I was in the same exact spot, the same exact place in Mexico on the border, on the Rio Grande. A year ago, when Donald Trump was president still, this was not the case, not even close. When you go to the border then, there was very little traffic, very small numbers. Of course, there were people still trying to come across, but we were active. Fast forward 1 year later, and it's very clear that this president put out a welcome mat, and that welcome mat is being used. It is being used on a daily basis by thousands of people trying to get across the border. The resources that I saw at the border were unbelievable. Vans to carry large numbers of illegal immigrants. We saw helicopters, Blackhawks, King Airs. We saw drones. We saw blimps. We saw it all. Now, this is what the state of Texas is doing because the federal government is not involved in much of what I just described. Because Biden said, when I get elected, it's a welcome mat. Come on over. We won't kick you out. Now, that's just one of the major problems. And usually, traditionally, when you're the president of the United States of America, having one problem is bad enough. Let's move on to the supply chain crisis. Again, something that has been created by this president that was not there beforehand. This is a president that did not do enough to get supply chain issues under control early on. He's a guy that didn't mandate or advocate or demand answers for not running our ports 24/7 because of union workers and bureaucracy in California. This is a man that is nothing more than a puppet for the Chinese who get to decide what we get, when we get it, and we are totally dependent on them. Then you look at the issue of inflation. If you made 50 grand last year, it's worth about 45,000 this year because the price of goods have skyrocketed. The price of services have skyrocketed. You add that with supply chain, supply and demand issues, which have had prices skyrocket. It's the worst in my entire lifetime. Now, again, I go back to a normal presidency, any one of the issues I just mentioned would be enough for people to start going, oh my gosh, it's not going well. But now we're on to a long list. You have rising gas prices that have really hurt middle Americans and poor Americans more than anybody else. Because when you used to be able to go get a gas tank at $35 and now you're paying $58, it hurts. And it takes disposable income out of your pocket. How about more COVID deaths have happened now under this president of the United States of America while he has the vaccine than actually happened under Donald Trump's presidency all in his first year? He has a 33% approval rating right now. This because he's done things that were unconscionable. like leaving Americans behind in Afghanistan, abandoning American allies in Afghanistan, abandoning actual American citizens in Afghanistan. And then there was some good news. The good news was the Supreme Court struck down the vaccine mandate, and the dominoes are already following. GE, which has government contracts, that's why they went with a vaccine mandate, has now suspended their COVID-19 vaccine or test requirements after the U.S. Supreme Court ruling. That is the first domino of a major company that has fallen, and more will happen because of the Supreme Court's ruling. What did the President of the United States of America have to say about all of this when it comes to the Supreme Court? Well, our president is clearly a tyrant. A tyrant, I would argue, with clear cognitive issues. If you've watched him recently, you know what I'm talking about. And Biden is now calls on employers to implement coronavirus and vaccine mandates despite the Supreme Court ruling. That is exactly what a tyrant would do. And if you think the other little tyrants that are obsessed with the big tyrant are going to back down, you're wrong. This is an article that came out over the weekend. A Pulitzer Prize-winning LA Times columnist, Michael Hilzik, has now called for death of anti-vax deputy DA to be mocked. That's right. Along with all unvaccinated who've died from COVID. No other way to make sure the lessons of these teachable moments are heard, the columnist writes. Now, I'm going to read for you part of this so you understand. The column's title, Mocking Anti-Vaxxers, COVID Deaths is Ghoulish, Yes, But May Be Necessary, by Michael Hiltzik. Among all the ways that COVID-19 affects our lives, a pandemic confronts us with a profound moral dilemma. How should we react to the deaths of the unvaccinated? On the one hand, a hallmark of civilized thought is the sense that every life is precious. On the other, those who have deliberately flouted sober medical advice by refusing a vaccine known to reduce the risk of serious disease from the virus, including the risk to others, and end up in the hospital or the grave, can be viewed as receiving their just desserts. This is actually in print in the LA Times. This is the psychopaths of the left defending the psychopaths of the lefts and defending the president of the United States of America. The vaccine is not the cure to COVID, and mandates don't work. That is what Kelly Earnby said before her unvaccinated death from COVID, which they are mocking. That's even more true of those who not only refused the vaccine for themselves, but publicly advocated that others do so. It has become common online and in social media for vaccine refusers and anti-vaccine advocates to become the target of ridicule after they come down with COVID-19, and especially if they die from it, the LA Times writes. Now, what's even more disgusting about this LA Times article is it actually talks about a website that's been named for the former Republican candidate for president who became one of the first political notables to succumb to the disease after publicly defying social distancing measures. They're referring to Herman Cain. They're actually giving out what they're now referring to, these six psychopaths, the same people that believe, by the way, in abortion on demand. So, and part of me says we really shouldn't be surprised by this. They now give out the, quote, Herman Cain Award to people who die. There's other sites out there like SorryAntiVaxxer.com that hosts snippets and photographs of anti-vaccine advocates often taken at their deathbeds to publicly mock them. The issue of how to think, the LA Times says, about the deaths of unvaccinated has been thrown into high relief locally by the case of Kelly Earnby, a prominent Orange County Republican and deputy district attorney who crusaded against vaccine mandates and died of COVID around New Year's Day, unvaccinated. Earnby's death promptly came to symbolize the rift in the social fabric caused by the ravages of COVID. Some online commentators greeted her demise with glee. These are the tyrants of the left. These are the psychos and sickos in this country, provoking her political friends to push back against what Ben Chapman, a Costa Mesa GOP official, called bigotry and hate directed at her when she died. My colleague, Nicholas Goldberg, recently talked about the rife in the social fabric that this species of callous commentary represents. Mocking anti-vaxxers when they get sick has become a bit of a sport, he wrote. I have a slightly different take. To begin with, let's stipulate that not all people unvaccinated against COVID are alike. Some have remained unvaccinated for legitimate medical reasons. They may be children for whom the COVID vaccine hasn't yet been officially ruled safe, or people with genuine medical reasons for avoiding the vaccine. Some may have legitimately face obstacles in getting to a vaccine site and receive the full series of shots before becoming exposed to the disease. Others may have refused the vaccine because they've been deceived by the misinformation and disinformation spread by the anti-vaccine crowd, such as anchors on Fox News. Yes, let's come after every conservative and assume that we're all anti-vaxxers, even though it's Donald Trump and conservatives that advocated for Operation Warp Speed. Yes, let's rewrite history and let's mock those that die. This is the LA Times. I warned you and I told you in our podcast this was coming. I told you that the left wanted to divide this country into two groups of people. Those who have rights and liberties only if you comply with what they believe in, which is you must be vaccinated. And if you don't comply and believe in that, then there will be hell to pay. And that's exactly what we are witnessing right now. And they want to blame people, conservative commentators like myself, even though I'm actually vaccinated. The deaths of all those victims are truly, I guess they claim to be sad, right? Finally, there are those who have voiced public opposition to the vaccines, not all of whom are unvaccinated themselves. Some have couched their opposition in policy terms. Earnby fell into that category. She asserted opposition not to the vaccines as such, but to vaccination mandates. That would be me, by the way. So I guess if I get COVID, even though I'm vaccinated, and die, then the left will immediately start writing articles about me and mock and laugh at my death. That's the new normal now in America's media. Quote, the LA Times says, I don't think the government should be, or excuse me, they quote, I should say, the now deceased individual by saying, quote, I don't think the government should be involved in mandating what vaccinated people or what vaccines people are taking, she said during a live stream town hall on November the 3rd, 2019, during an unsuccessful campaign for the state assembly. If the government is going to mandate vaccine, what else will they mandate? And by the way, I couldn't agree more with that logic, right? Because if they want to take away all your rights over a mandate of a vaccine, if you give them that right, then what's next? This is exactly when the Supreme Court said these psychopaths and tyrants are wrong. Of course, the LA Times will overlook that. The town hall predated the pandemic. The mandate that Earnby opposed was a law tightening the immunization rules for California school children by eliminating exemptions based on personal belief. Again, makes sense. These psychopaths, these tyrants of the public government, they have no problem taking away every single right that you have because they don't believe that you should have rights. They believe the government should dictate to you what your rights are depending on what day of the week it is and what you did to make them happy, which means you have no rights at all. Back to the LA Times. But Earnby made clear that her opposition extended to the COVID vaccines. In August, she posted a statement on her Facebook page supporting Huntington Beach firefighters who were opposing a vaccine mandate. By the way, if anybody was honest and true to their convictions, it's this woman who died, Earnby. She wasn't against vaccines. She was against mandating vaccines from the federal government, and she stayed consistent. And this is who the left is cheering her death. Quote, the vaccine is not the cure to COVID and mandates won't work, she wrote, and she was right. It should be clear that opposing vaccine mandates as a substitute for opposing vaccination itself is a fundamentally incoherent position. The writer writes, it's little more than the Garden Valley small government Republican ideology. That's what it was in Earnby's hands. Now, again, look at what she wrote. This individual who's a Republican said the vaccine is not the cure to COVID. We can all agree that's true now. Hell, even Fauci is now saying that. We can see that mandates don't work. And by the way, anywhere in the world where they don't have the same rights we have here, where they've done vaccine mandates, it hasn't worked for them either. I want small government. I want lower taxes. I want to protect our freedoms. She said during her discussion of vaccine mandates at the town hall. What's wrong with that? Well, this is why liberals hate her. Contrary to Earnby's assertions, however, mandates do work. Requirements that people provide evidence of vaccination before attending public events or entering restaurants or bars have been associated with heightened vaccine rates abroad. So in other words, mandates, right? You have no rights. You must do it. And we will divide you into two sectors in society. And the LA Times is advocating for this in writing, right? They're saying, look, we've seen around the world, if you take away people's rights and you tell them they can't do things unless they do what you tell them to do, it will work. That's literally their argument. Take away everyone's personal rights, and then you can get society to get on board. And if you don't, they're going to have a horrible life because we won't let them do anything. As for whether a vaccine mandate is a slippery slope to more government control, as Earnby maintained, government mandates have been with us for untold decades, the writer writes. We require drivers to wear seatbelts. Well, that's a stupid analogy, and I'll tell you why. Driving is not a mandate. No one's mandate to drive. Driving, by the way, is a privilege. It's not a right. And if this idiot who wrote this article understood rights, she would never use as part of her argument this again, ignorant, flawed logic argument that somehow driving is a right. It's not a right. It's a privilege. We take away the privilege all the time from people that drive drunk, people that drive too fast, people that have too many wrecks. It's a privilege, not a right, to drive in America. So the idea that she's going to try to connect vaccine mandates to driving and driver's license mandates is maybe one of the dumbest arguments I've ever seen. But again, this is the LA Times and the left. What do you expect? We require drivers to wear a seatbelt, she says, cars to be equipped with airbags, and drivers to observe speed limits and avoid pedestrians. We ban smoking in public areas. Again, another bad example, but I won't waste your time on that. I think you can connect those dots. Vaccine mandates themselves have been part of the educational system for longer than anyone can remember in every state in the union. California requires K-12 pupils to have as many as 20 doses of immunizations against polio, measles, mumps, rubella, whooping cough, hepatitis, and chickenpox. So in other words, go get this one? Or did you forget to mention in your closing argument in the LA Times that all of those things you can actually have personal beliefs exemptions from? We haven't really mandated them. We give you a way to not take them if you have a problem. That's where you're, again, wanting to take away all of our rights right now. You don't want us to have the right to say no. You only want to have the right to mandate what we can and cannot do. That's the difference now. That's the problem now. You want to mandate everything. All of the vaccines that you just mentioned, every single one of them. Every single one of them. You could get a religious exemption or a personal exemption from those vaccines. So when you say what changed, you should be able to answer your own question. This one, you don't want anyone to be able to be exempt from anything that you mandate any longer. That is the problem. And it's a big one. Now, I want you to hear how the other media has jumped on board of this conversation. This happened on CNN from Michael Smirkanis. He has a weekend show where he talked about maybe should we mock Americans who die of COVID after opposing vaccine mandates? Take a listen to how he describes it in a disgusting way.
Question peculiar to these days. Is it wrong to mock people who publicly crusade against the COVID vaccine and then die of the disease? Or does it drive home the message about saving lives? There are entire websites that are devoted to such mockery. SorryAntiVaxxer.com gleefully tallies stories and photos of anti-vaccine advocates who end up in the ICU, intubated, and/or dead from the disease. One recent case of this kind of tasteless taunting spurred two dueling opinion pieces in the Los Angeles Times. Orange County Republican Kelly Earnby, a former assistant DA and state assembly candidate who had lobbied publicly against the COVID vaccines, passed away earlier this month at age 46 from COVID complications. She was unvaccinated. Earnby's death unleashed a torrent of reaction on the internet. On her own Facebook page, under a Christmas collage that she had posted, there are now more than 4,600 comments. Some are sympathy notes. Many others are not. In response to the piling on, LA Times columnist Nicholas Goldberg wrote, "I don't understand how crowing over the death of others furthers useful debate or increases vaccination rates." But a few days later, Goldberg's colleague Michael Hiltzig published a column expressing the exact opposite. Quote, "Mocking anti-vaxxers' COVID deaths is ghoulish, yes, but maybe necessary." Michael Hiltzig joins me now. He's the LA Times business columnist. He's also a Pulitzer Prize winner. Michael, let's make clear at the outset, you are not talking about the everyday people who don't get vaxxed, sadly contract COVID and die. You're talking about people with a platform, right?
Yes, because if you disagree with the left, if you disagree with the White House, if you disagree with Joe Biden, they believe you should be publicly ridiculed. This is no different than public flogging. This is no different than taking somebody out into the Times Square and mocking them and letting people throw things at them. It's no different. Listen to what they're saying. They're saying, look, if you come out and say you're against vaccines, right? An official who argues against vaccine dies from COVID-19 and sparks big reaction online, right? And they're saying this is basically really what you deserve. This is what you deserve. You deserve this. This is how sick these people are. They're actually hoping that people get COVID who have been public figures saying and questioning the vaccine or not taking the vaccine. And in that scenario, they believe that you should immediately be mocked and your death should be celebrated, because this isn't just mocking someone dying. This is celebrating your demise, celebrating your death. It's sick.
That's correct, Michael. In my column, I made a distinction. I pointed out that the unvaccinated really fall into three categories. There are those who can't get vaccinated for legitimate reasons, small children, people with genuine medical contraindications of vaccination. Then there's a fairly large group of people who I think have been duped into resisting the vaccine, duped by misinformation and disinformation about the vaccines and sort of nonsense about preserving our freedoms in the face of this pandemic. Real targets who are important here are those who spent the last few months or years of their lives crusading against sensible, safe policies such as vaccination, social distancing, and what have you, and ended up paying the ultimate price for their own, basically their own folly.
I'm going to put on the screen the paragraph that I highlighted from your column. It's this: mockery is not necessarily the wrong reaction to those who publicly mocked anti-COVID measures and encouraged others to follow suit before they perished of the disease, the dangers of which they belittled. Expand on that.
Sure. Yeah, you know, we have a sort of a cultural habit of not speaking ill of the dead, of treating the deceased as looking at the good they've done during their lives. I'm not sure that in this case that's entirely appropriate, because so many of them actually have promoted reckless, dangerous policies. And as I wrote there, they took innocent people along with them.
So there it is. If you don't agree with the government and you don't agree with the government's objective, if you don't agree with what the state mandates that you agree with or believe in, we will then cheer on your death. This is happening in the United States of America, not in another country, in America. You have a president who was just shut down by the Supreme Court, and even after he was shut down by the Supreme Court with his vaccine mandates, he comes out and immediately says that he believes that you should do it anyway and not listen to the Supreme Court, which is psychotic. This is, by the way, what a tyrant would do. So apparently this is all they've got left, folks. Telling you how to live your life, and if you don't, mocking you if you die. You know how many people have died, have been vaccinated in this country? A lot. Should we mock them too? Should we mock people that die of COVID that got vaccinated because they got vaccinated and, quote, it didn't work and it didn't save their life? Because there have been people that have been vaccinated that have died. That's inhumane. You know, I think that America is an incredible country. I do not think that America is becoming an even greater country right now based on what I'm seeing. America should be better than this. America should never be a place where people mock other people's deaths because they get sick of a pandemic. They get sick during a time of a pandemic, and just because you disagree on how you want to medically approach that pandemic, you then cheer on the deaths of people who die that you disagree with. I'm not cheering for anyone to get COVID. I'm not cheering for anyone to die. I think that's pure evil. I think it's psycho. I think it's sick. And this is the Democratic Party. And this is exactly what they are cheering right now. It is pure evil to do this. So when you see all the bad news coming from this White House, and you look at this president's approval rating, and you see how low it is now at 33%, never forget how they treat you. Never forget what they think of you if you don't agree with them, because it's not just going to be on COVID. I want to make that clear. Okay, it's not just going to be COVID. It's going to be a litany of other things. And they're going to publicly shame you, and they're going to mock you, and they're going to laugh at you. And they're going to treat you like you are less than. They're going to treat you like you are a subclass citizen. They are going to treat you differently because you don't go along with what they say you must believe in or what you must go along with. Remember this when it comes to Election Day, because this is all they believe in right now. They believe it's appropriate to write these types of columns, and they believe it's appropriate for the government to take away your rights. When you've got mainstream newspapers like the LA Times saying publicly that mocking the death of anti-vaxxers is now necessary to create a teachable moment, you know you can't trust these people, and you never should moving forward. Because this is about power. It is about control. It is about making sure that no matter what, they win and you lose. You either get on your knees and kiss their feet, and if you don't, they will come for you, they will wish death on you, and they will celebrate it when you die. And it's in writing now. This isn't speculation, it is in writing. I hope every one of you will share this podcast with your family and friends, and I will see you back here tomorrow.
For the past 30 years, Care Heating and Cooling put you first. You are the reason they are open 7 days a week. You are why they make it easy to schedule service at careheatingandcooling.com. Concern for your safety is why they check every gas furnace for carbon monoxide. It's because of you that their technicians are paid to fix your furnace and air conditioner, not sell you a new one. And if you do need a new furnace, their team will make sure you get exactly what you need at a cost that fits your budget. Care Heating and Cooling is committed to doing business right. Call them at 1-800-COOLING when you need a company you can trust.